For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Sam Spiegelman, national recruiting analyst for On3. Sam, coming to us from his home in New Orleans, where some news happened this week. Actually, it happened up in Zachary, Louisiana, where Eli Holstein, a quarterback, committed to Alabama, which happens to impact the Longhorns because Alabama is one of the teams that is in the process of recruiting Arch Manning, the nation's number one prospect overall, out of New Orleans. Sam, familiar with that family, has known Arch for, he's told me last time, going back to eighth grade. So how does, let's just start and also say that Manning put out late last week, Sam, that he was down to three schools, but three schools were going to get visits: Georgia, Alabama, and then Texas. So how does Eli Holstein's, another top-ranked quarterback's, commitment to Alabama influence Arch, and what does that mean for the Longhorns' chances there?
Yeah, well, you know, just to back up a little bit, you know, before the rush of media with Arch and the setting of these official visits, you know, On3, I think, has been pretty solid in their reporting. We reported that those three schools were kind of, you know, separating from the pack at a certain point in the spring, and then we reported that, you know, even Alabama was in heavy pursuit of not only Arch but also Holstein, which had kind of opened the door that Georgia and Texas were, you know, maybe the perceived two teams, maybe of that of the three, maybe a step ahead of Alabama potentially. Now I see that Holstein commits to Alabama. Right now, you know, obviously, you know, it doesn't seem like Arch has any problems being a part of a two-person class, but Texas and Georgia have made him a top priority. That's just going to open the door for them to, you know, going into these official visits. They have a wide open opportunity for Arch to come in and compete and be the centerpiece of their recruiting classes. Those two teams in particular have exhibited the patience to back up those sentiments and say, Arch, you know, we view you as a quarterback of this class and obviously the number one guy on our board. Both those offensive minds were represented at his spring game. Todd Monken from Georgia, not only Terry Joseph, the Louisiana recruiter, but AJ Milwee was obviously also at Arch's spring game. And both schools have set themselves up, but the elephant in the room, and literally and figuratively, is Alabama is still in line to get an official visit from Arch, even though they are very content with their quarterback right now and Eli Holstein. I had one source point out that, you know, it's Bryce Young, who is the Heisman Trophy winner and potential favorite going into the season. And behind him, it's Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson. And they obviously have Eli on board, but they need to fill up that quarterback depth chart. It's a little bit thinner than you'd expect in Tuscaloosa. And they're going to make a run at trying to recruit both these quarterbacks and see what happens. So Arch and Alabama is still a realistic possibility. But obviously from looking at it without them making any comments that anyone is out of the race yet. And then they'll let us know when Alabama is in fact out of the race, if they are. Georgia and Texas have to like where they stand after another strong spring of visits. And then obviously entertaining Arch and being at Newman and being around the family and the coaching staff and Arch during the spring.
Does it open up the door for other teams like Florida and LSU to get further involved?
You know, we've obviously heard the rumors and coming right from Arch's mouth that he's had interest in both of those schools and checking them out. You know, if he, you know, right again, as of, you know, May 26th, the plan is to still officially visit Alabama. There's been no change in those plans. If he does change those plans, could that open up another weekend visit to Florida? Maybe an unofficial, maybe an official. I know that June 10th or June 9th is LSU 7-on-7 tournament. Newman historically, you know, participates. Alabama still expects Arch to be on campus that weekend, so they might be going with their backup quarterback, who happens to be a D1 quarterback down the road. But it could open up the door for Arch to maybe not visit Alabama and maybe go up to Baton Rouge instead.
Well, it's interesting. So what you're saying basically, it from your viewpoint, and not further intel than what the Mannings have and Arch have released, is that it sounds like it's Texas and Georgia with Alabama still involved, although we just don't know what the impact of Holstein going to Alabama is.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly it. Is obviously, you know, if we can all put ourselves in Arch's shoes or his family's shoes and say, you know, Alabama, it just took a commitment from an elite quarterback in the same state as you. You know, like they're out, and then let's move on to these final two. But that's not been the case with the Mannings. They've been very careful with this process, and if they're still set to visit Alabama, it almost further proves what we've been reporting, that Alabama continues and is intent to recruit not only Holstein but also Manning. And you know, maybe that official visit will tell us more. Maybe that will signal the end of this relationship. We can only guess or speculate, but for now, it still is at least a three-team race, and the Mannings haven't been willing to really close things off to even Florida or LSU at this point. So it seems like three, maybe four-ish teams are still really hanging around right now.
So Sam, you've spoken to Arch and that family. Where do you think Texas sits in this, and why is he attracted to Texas?
Yeah, well, Texas has and continues to sit in a fantastic spot. You know, I think it says a lot about the way that they've been recruiting, that they, you know, in the state of Texas and the program that Texas is, and the offensive minds that are a part of this program, that they've offered one 2023 quarterback. I think in the world of recruiting, where, you know, you can't really stand out from other teams too easily, that's a way to stand out and differentiate yourself. And Texas is the only team to ever do that. Arch has visited Austin routinely over the last couple of years. He has developed relationships not only with the coaching staff, which are well documented, from Steve Sarkisian to AJ Milwee to Terry Joseph to Brandon Harris, but he has got relationships on the roster. He's got relationships with other guys that are committed to them, guys that Texas is also recruiting to add to their class. And I think from catching up with Arch just a couple of weeks ago, it's just a level of comfort that you can only get from familiarity. And in the world of college football recruiting, that's really all you can go with is your gut and comfortability, and, you know, what seems to be leading you down the right path. And I think Texas has checked all of those boxes. And I think the same goes for Alabama, and the same goes for Georgia, which is why, you know, from the outside looking in, it seems like those are the last three teams standing at the moment. But Texas in particular, you know, they've kind of clicked on the Louisiana flavor with Terry Joseph, brilliant quarterback minds with Sark and Milwee. And really just finding a fit. I think, you know, just from talking to Arch, and, you know, he's a New Orleans kid. I live in New Orleans. You know, I think it's safe to say we both love the city that are in. You know, he compared the two, and I thought that, you know, from just, you know, a 17-year-old perspective, you know, just finding the uniqueness of the city that you're living in and taking that into account in your college decision, it goes a long way, which is why I think Texas is, you know, one of these final teams standing, and certainly very much in position to make a run at his commitment.
In Austin, there's a logo, a long-held logo that says, "Keep Austin weird." New Orleans That's is right. weird itself, right? And so
I like to think that we're the weirdest, but I think Austin is very weird in itself.
Yeah, and so I think there's some give and take there that might be some symbiotic idea. You know, I want to move on because you also took a tour through the state of Texas recently and saw some other kids that Texas is recruiting. But before I do that, I've got to ask you this. So Holstein, I've got to say this. Holstein is from Zachary, Louisiana, commits to Alabama. Do you know who the best quarterback ever from Zachary, Louisiana is?
In my opinion, it would have to be Lindsey Scott Jr.
I'm going to go.
Are you going to tell me I'm wrong?
I'm going to go. Well, he didn't play it. It didn't play at Zachary High because this was before.
Okay.
Doug Williams. The Grambling quarterback is from the Super Bowl 22 MVP is from Zachary. When I rolled through there, I went back to that high school, I guess, almost 25 years ago. And I remember talking to one of the coaches when I was there. about it. But all right, let's move forward to your Texas trip real quick. Okay. So you started in, I think you were down in the southern part, and then you went up to Westlake, up to Temple, went in the Dallas area. Who are some of the kids that you talked to that you felt like Texas had a good shot at?
Right from the top. I think the first RPM, first two RPMs from that trip were Jonte Cook and Reuben Owens. And to start with Jonte, from visiting him, obviously, you know, he just reset his whole official visits. He's going to get to Oregon. He's going to get to Ole Miss now. He also has Jackson State in his top five. You know, Jonte, just from being around him and being around people close to his recruitment, I think there's always been a sense this is going to come down to Texas or Texas A&M. And obviously, he's going to explore all of his opportunities. Don't get me wrong. But this, you know, the kind of player he is, at the program he is, it seems like it's an in-state battle. I really, really feel good about Texas with Jonte. And that's honestly from his comments about Sark and this offense and what they're building in Texas. We can obviously read the tea leaves from how they, you know, develop through recruiting and through the transfer portal. And you see there's a lot of excitement building, but they obviously have to play. And I think Jonte kind of embodies that with how he speaks about Sark. He's super familiar with the program. I felt good about that RPM pick. And then Owens, I didn't actually catch up because he was so busy with track and all the coming off a fantastic stellar junior season coupled with a fantastic spring in track and field. But really I put that RPM in while he was in Austin. A lot of the buzz from driving around to all these small towns in and around Austin and from Dallas really kind of connected the dots between Owens and Texas. And he previously had similar comments to Jonte about not only the offense, but, you know, from an NIL perspective, how to be branded in Austin. And A&M is not going anywhere with Owens. Georgia's not going anywhere with Owens. He just set up OVs to Louisville and TCU as well. And neither one of those teams can be discounted yet. But I like where Texas has and always sat with Owens. And I think even after you reopen your process and evaluate all your options, and there's still a lot of buzz connecting you to the Longhorns, that says a lot. So I feel good about those RPM picks.
Gotcha. What did you you went up to see Mikael Harrison Pilot at Temple, Naaman Forrest to see Marcus Steele, over to Arlington Martin to see Javian Toviano. Where did you come away on those guys?
Yeah, I actually put in another RPM for Deal to Texas. One of the more interesting recruitments, just from the fact that, you know, he's one of, for on threes purposes, he's one of the best interior linemen in the country. When I was there, he was playing on offense. He's also getting recruited as a defensive lineman, and Bo Davis is leading his recruitment for Texas. His dad being the defensive line coach at Naaman Forrest, and I think just feeling really comfortable with that. And the way that Bo Davis is one of, if not Texas's best assistant coach on the recruiting trail. I really like where Texas stands. USC is probably running second there. And I think Georgia's intent to make a run at Deal as well. But I think Texas has built a really strong foundation. And hey, if they recruit him as a D lineman, he's a fantastic D lineman. And if he wants to make the switch to offense, I'm sure that Texas won't blink an eye. So that's someone I feel good about the Longhorns with in-state. Going out to Arlington Martin, Javian Toviano, I actually think he's trending a little bit more out-of-state. Texas has always been kind of the first team in the boat with Javian. He burst onto the scene after he shut down Billy Bowman and Jatavian Sanders, who we now know is, you know, primed for a breakout season in Austin. But Javian, yeah, I think Texas has always had a special place in Javian's heart. I think A&M is probably the team trending in-state the most, and Georgia is probably the biggest out-of-state threat, in my opinion, for Javian coming on late over the last couple of months. You know, LSU has gotten him on campus, Alabama has shown interest, same with Ohio State and Michigan, but Georgia seems most primed to make a run, and they'll get him on campus for an OV in next month. And who is the third?
Mikael Harrison Pilot, who just recently set up a visit to Texas.
Right, and things have been moving very quickly for the two-way athlete out of Temple. You know, he started the spring by dropping a top 12, and after his spring game said he intends to explore more of those top 12 options, and then very quickly he started to plot his official visits. It's funny how things work out when spring football is over and they can actually be like, oh, wait, it is the end of May. We need to start getting ahead on this thing. You know, the buzz around Mikael is that, you know, he possibly could wait until December or even February. but he's going to have some Memorial Day news. He's about to have a, he's about to narrow it down, that 12 down to 5. Obviously you can tell by the official visits he's set up that Texas, that Oklahoma and Cal are all in a good spot. You know, he's going to be at that Sooners barbecue to open June. Right now, it's actually trending towards being an unofficial visit. There's been some mysterious things going on that boat, but he's going to see Texas and Cal. And really, from the in-state perspective, you have to love where Texas sits with McHale. Blake Gideon built a great foundation, and then it's been Brandon Marion who's taken over his recruitment, recruited him at Pitt. We all know that Texas is trying to put together a relay team at receiver, and McHale fits that bill perfectly. And he's clicked really well, and I think that Texas is in a really great spot along with Oklahoma. And then Cal is probably, you know, among the out-of-state schools, one to keep an eye on, just, you know, academics. You know, this is a kid that has a Stanford offer. You know, he's got it all in front of him, and Cal checks a lot of those boxes as well. But it seems like this might come down to Texas and Oklahoma for a kid that lives pretty close to Austin. So we'll see where it goes from after these official visits.
Let me ask you this. You also went by Marlin, and any list that I make up of five most important recruits for Texas includes the linebacker Darian Gillette. I think he's one of those rare types that aren't, you know, God doesn't make many that are 6'3", 225 and run like him, you know? And so anytime, you know, those, there just aren't that many, right? What did you take away from Marlin in your trip there?
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Yeah, well, I think you said it best. I mean, there's not many kids that fit the profile of Darian, and the track background, the football background, the basketball background, and obviously, you know, even more on top of that, he's such a smart kid upstairs, and, you know, mature beyond his age. I would put him on any must-get list for any of the teams that are recruiting him. And, you know, I think he's preparing to drop a top 7 here in the next couple of days. And I would expect schools like Alabama and LSU to make the cut, maybe a few more out-of-state programs that might've caught his eye. But from talking to people close to him in Marlin, this, I think, is going to come down to Texas, to Oklahoma, and A&M. I know he recently had a tough decision. He had to eliminate Baylor, which was one of his early offers, and he's going through things very methodically and carefully. So he's looking at things from a lot of different angles, from football to NIL and also academics. And I think relationships are also extremely big. And, you know, for a kid from a small town like Marlin, Texas, it's all about wherever he goes to school, to this big campus, this big football program, he feels, you know, like a priority and feels comfortable there. Texas has done a fantastic job with him. They're definitely going to make his top 7. He's already scheduled his OV there. Again, I think they're in a small handful of teams where he ends up in the end. And he is one of those unique, legitimate in-state kids that could be a difference maker on that side of the ball once you put him in a college football program, in a weight room, a nutrition program, and the kind of the freakish talents that he embodies. I like where Texas stands. They've done a good job of recruiting him and continuing to recruit him and stay on him. His relationship with Dre Bledsoe, who's obviously now on campus in Austin, makes him feel like he's already a part of the program. And again, you have to take it to a small town kid, going to a school like Austin or going to College Station or going to Norman, or if he goes to, you know, LSU or Alabama, you need that small town connection. Having Bledsoe already on that roster is something that you can't really look past at this point.
Gotcha. You're obviously from Louisiana, and you spent time watching Lance Hurd and Jordan Matthews as well, Sam. What are your thoughts on those two? And then Derek Williams, I think, is another player that Texas has had on campus a couple of times, but we seem to believe Alabama is trending for. What are your thoughts on those three?
Yeah. You know, Jordan, I think I might have been first in our little industry, maybe at least on three. I put the RPM for Jordan to Texas. And I, And I think that Texas has kind of been running away with this quietly since almost January. They've been the school most consistent recruiting him, from Brandon Harris to Terry Joseph. He's continued to frequent Austin, and from talking to people close to him, he's just getting more and more comfortable with it out there. And you talk about a kid with a profile that, you know, any program in the country would love. It's 6'2", almost 185 pounds, long, rangy. I think, you know, he'll be back on campus, I believe, this summer. And, you know, I know that LSU and Alabama are two teams that have continued to kick the tires on Jordan this spring, and will be interesting to see if they can get back into the race this summer. But all things considered, I think that Texas is clearly the team to beat for Jordan. They've only cemented that over the spring. And I think, you know, like any kid, he'll check some boxes before he makes his decision final. But I love where Texas stands with him. And that's a Terry Joseph special right there. It's a kid that anyone would want to have in their secondary for this class. Same goes for Derek Williams. I think I just wrote about him. But, you know, coming from New Iberia Westgate, giving me the same kind of vibes that Kayshawn Boutte did at this time in his career. He just seems to move a little bit differently. I know we have him as a number two safety in the country, but he could play anywhere in the secondary. And I think that in today's NFL, where safeties are getting paid to do multiple things, Derek Williams, you could put anywhere as a high safety, as a, you know, in the box safety, as a nickel safety, as a corner on the boundaries. He just added a Clemson offer this week. And he's kind of expanded his recruitment a little bit. Texas is one of the teams that has held on, along with Alabama and LSU. And now that A&M has entered the mix, Miami has entered the mix, Clemson has entered the mix, and Oklahoma has entered the mix. He's scheduled to take an OV to Miami at some point in June. He's doing the same to Texas. Alabama certainly is trending right now. But that's a current mood. There's a long ways to go in Derek's recruitment. I can assure you it's going to go to at least till December, if not February. That's just how it's going to, you know, and with new teams coming on at this point, he's got to explore these options a little bit more closely. I know he's going to go back to Alabama. He's trying to go to LSU, but for Texas to hold on, he's talked about it. You know, he's trying to figure out who's real and who isn't. Michigan is kind of falling out of the race. You know, a kid from New Iberia, Louisiana, isn't going to go so far from home that he can't drive anywhere. So I think you have the Southeast, and I think you have Texas as a real possibility. And Brandon Harris again, and Terry Joseph. Additionally, Terry Price coming over, and TJ Rushing for A&M getting involved, and Coach Venables for Oklahoma. But some of those guys, Terry Joseph and Brandon Harris, have been key in Derek's recruitment and keeping him looking at those out-of-state options. And then for Lance Hurd to finish up, what a performance in his spring game. That was my first time seeing Lance, and that's a rarity for a Louisiana kid that I had to wait until he was a junior to see. But he looks like he could not only play on Saturdays, but he looks like he could suit up on Sundays not too distant from now. And he pointed out that even though Bo Davis is recruiting him, he is getting recruited at offensive tackle by Texas, which is big, because obviously I know that he has had feelings about playing on the defensive side of the ball, and I think it's all set for him to play offense now. He's an elite offensive tackle prospect, so that makes perfect sense. And like I said earlier in this, Bo Davis is an elite recruiter, so it's great to have him leading the way. And in North Louisiana, a place where he's recruited in the past. Lance pointed out that he's been to Texas probably more than any other campus, which you can't ignore. This summer, he's expected to see Nebraska. He might go to Oklahoma State. He might go to Texas, and he might go to LSU unofficially. He, again, is in no rush to make a decision. At the earliest, I could see it, you know, December, January, February. He's going to take his time, but we can assure you that Texas is in it for the long run. They've established the longevity in this recruitment. The biggest threat, in my opinion, would be LSU after finally offering this spring. Still hasn't visited for the staff, so they have ground to make up. Florida State has been a team that's been coming on really strong. He's got a lot of connections to Coach Atkins at Florida State. And then USC with Josh Henson has been recruiting him since he was at Oklahoma State, then at A&M. And now I think he's also in the process of setting up that OV to USC, which would be a team to watch. But LSU, Texas, seems like it could come down to them because of where he lives in the country, but watch out for Florida State and USC as well.
Okay. Any wild cards for Texas in the Pelican State?
You know, I'll say this. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for Texas. Something that you just hear about from making your way around Texas from and then back to Louisiana, back and forth throughout the whole spring, April, May, going back and forth. Something in Louisiana that coaches are very conscious of is that Texas has not been afraid to throw offers out a little bit earlier than in the past. You have to credit that to the staff and, you know, Brandon Harris and these coaches that are being on the road and that they're, you know, Steve Sarkisian has quietly been at Texas for a couple of years now, and his staff has been building these relationships for some time. And early offers go a long way in building relationships and at least getting your foot in the door to compete with the LSUs and Alabamas of the world. And right now, those early offers to guys like Jordan Matthews and Lance Hurd and Arch Manning are the reason that they're in the mix for those three elite guys from Louisiana. So they have a great staff from the top on down, and they are primed to make noise in Louisiana. And whether it's at the top with Arch or, you know, a couple of elite guys underneath, you know, I think it's going to be a trend over this year as Steve Sarkisian continues to lead Texas up in the college football ranks. We'll see it pay dividends on the recruiting trail, and that includes Louisiana, where there's always a wealth of talent to recruit.
Sam, your take on one other thing here. We've been talking so much lately about NIL and its impact on college football recruiting. Texas faring fairly well in the portal, which seems to be somewhat NIL related at whatever level, if you look at USC in particular of late. What are you hearing on the ground, really, from a high school perspective as it relates to NIL and its impact on college football? We just had Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher go head to head in some kind of bizarre bromance. What are you hearing and what are you noticing on the ground from an NIL perspective?
Yeah, I can tell you this. It's it feels like NFL free agency, NFL front offices at this point. You know, between the transfer portal and, you know, these contract deals that are being set up. Listen, I think all athletes should get paid, you know, for risking it, you know, on the field, and I'm all for the endorsements and whatnot. I'm a proponent for any of that. It's also a different, you know, perspective to be covering recruiting for, you know, the amount of years that we have, and to hear them just basically go some kids consider NIL more than others, and some consider it as a part of the equation, or some consider it the entirety of the equation. But to hear these numbers attached to these figures about if you come to our university and you're going to get this amount this year, and this amount if you stay this amount, and this amount if you play this amount, and it's interesting. I could say that it feels like it's sometimes weighing contract offers instead of, like what we talked about earlier, about distance to home and opportunity to play and compete for titles, and, you know, what life is like in this campus. But it's definitely, I think, the biggest thing, and it's been echoed, you know, quite a bit, is it just needs to be regulated. You know, you don't want to hear about bidding wars, and you don't want it to just become where 16 teams in the country are competing over the best 300 players. You want the small schools that don't have this big free agency budget to be able to contend for recruits because of either where they are or the coaches that are recruiting them. And so I think we're heading in a unique direction. But I think that if Nick Saban speaks about something like this, we're due for change, and he's just echoing what other people are expressing to him. And we've all kind of quietly been exchanging over the last couple of months as we all kind of see each other again face to face for the first time in a couple of years. And it's a whole nuanced part of the equation, and it has its perks to hear about kids that, you know, live in East Texas that can now go on a plane and get a rental car and a Marriott for their whole family to see a kid play on a different coast. That's pretty cool. That, you know, that's like the perks. That's the cool part about this, or that a kid can sign autographs and get compensated for that, because those people in the stands are wearing their jersey numbers. You know, those are for players. Those aren't just, you know, those aren't just jersey numbers. They stand for players. But definitely from a recruiting angle, to hear that we're only going to talk to schools that can present X amount of money and, you know, these kind of figures, I get it. And if that's the way you want to go about it, that's, you know, that's perfectly fine. But it does take away a little bit of the small era of fun that's a part of the recruiting process, in my opinion.
I agree with that last point. How widespread is that? Like, what percentage are taking that almost mercenary approach entirely?
I would say it's split, because, you know, you see kids from all walks of life and kids that put a premium on different parts of their recruitment. You know, and I get that, right? Like that's how decisions are made. But you know, I appreciate when kids can balance what I say are quote unquote normalcies of a recruitment, you know, what, you know, could I go play and, you know, compete for playing time here? My favorite edge rusher growing up, you know, played for this team out of state, or I grew up watching this player on Saturdays and now they're playing for my favorite NFL team, you know, at home, things like that, you know, paired with the NIL potential. I feel like there can be some semblance of balance. I just don't know if we've struck it yet.
Is there a percentage you would put on it that are just entirely mercenary? 5%, 10%, 50%? What percentage of players that you run across?
I think that 1 to 10% sounds about right. I don't think it's as widespread, because, you know, I think most people are just accustomed to doing things a certain way, and it's all, you know, you can take it into account as much as you can, but, you know, I haven't heard too many crazy cases. You know, you definitely hear about one every now and then, but, you know, I think for the most part, people are still learning about this and trying to educate themselves and kind of, you know, learning it through a crash course, if you will. So they're definitely feeling it out, but as soon as we somehow get some regulation and balance to it, I think it'll work itself out.
All right. Sam Spiegelman, On3 national recruiting expert, joining us from New Orleans. Sam, I really appreciate your time, bud. It was awesome to talk to you. A wealth of information. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Bobby. Great to see you, bud.
All right. You enjoy the sun out there in New Orleans. All right. Thanks a bunch for this episode. I'm Bobby Burton for Sam Spiegelman. This has been On Texas Football.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.